Recording. And I'd like to introduce the case writer and our moderator today, Rudy Scarito. Rudy has been an investment banker for over 30 years. In 2009, she founded RS Finance and Consulting. She advises corporate clients on mergers and acquisitions, capital raising. She has completed over 20 transactions in the last 20 years. Could someone mute yourself, please? Thank you. Rudy is president and member of the board of directors of the Association for Corporate Growth, ACG, the Boston chapter. She previously served on the board of directors of Ambient Corporation, which is a NASDAQ company focusing on communications and technology. She's been on the board of the Industrial Services of America, also a NASDAQ company. It's in the metal recycling area. Rudy is director of the Brookline Center for Community Mental Health. She's also been on the board of the Greater Boston Chapter of the Exit Planning Exchange. Rudy is a graduate from St. Paul's School, Dartmouth College, and Harvard Business School. So welcome, Rudy. Why don't we go to the different groups? The group number one was Amita, Babs, Brian, Robert, Rudy, and Susan. Do you have a spokesperson?
I am the spokesperson, Larry.
Great.
So I will jump into this. We were very lucky to have Rudy in our group, except that she wouldn't tell us anything.
I asked her not to.
Well, she was very good at that. Very good at that. So our group started by discussing what assumptions we had, kind of what questions we had and what assumptions we made about the case. We were all unsure exactly what happened with the Department of Defense and why that didn't come to fruition sooner. A little bit unclear as well about the relative seniority of the representative from Strategic Green Motors, SGM, one of the investors. We discussed the fact that this is a relatively small company at the moment because the Series A funding was only in the amount of $3 million. We made an assumption that the founder, the CEO, probably owns a majority of the company. So that was, we felt, an important element to be considering. And we also kind of came to the conclusion that this was, that this product was not ready yet, the technology was not ready yet, and that it probably was somewhat custom, that it needed to be developed further to be accessible by customers. So let me talk about how we responded to the questions. The first question, should the CEO liquidate the company? I think Brian said it best, hard no. The technology we assume is still promising, and they still have 6 months of cash left, and there are other things that they can do, which I'll talk about in a moment. How can a CEO of a venture company protect from self-serving actions of its board? We all agreed that he should have had independent board members on the board and potentially advisors who had expertise in the government, in defense funding. Should the CEO have thought differently about board selection? So I think that answers that question. Clearly, there should have been one or two independent directors in addition to who was on the board. Are the board members right to act in their own best interests? Well, you know, yes and no. Obviously, a venture capital fund is going to be operating in its own best interests and is looking for a return on its investment. SGM, we question whether perhaps they're looking for a way to buy this company at a lower level, at a cheaper level. So we concluded that it was probably inappropriate for them to push the CEO as hard as they did. And we didn't think that the CEO should be replaced for a couple of reasons. One is that he probably is an owner-operator. He did follow the direction of the board initially. And we believe that there's an opportunity perhaps to prioritize the market, ensure that there's an understanding of what the target market is, so that the company can in fact position the product perhaps better than they did. They put all of their eggs into the Department of Defense basket. And so there was a question mark about whether they had clearly identified who the target customers were. And then finally, should investors fund a bridge loan to help the company generate the commercial sales? I think we all agreed that the company should go back to the original investors, look for other avenues of funding, perhaps go to the government, to the Department of Defense, and look for funding there, and also perhaps redistribute resources to actually extend the funding that they have available. Okay, team. What have I left out?
Cover a lot of the salient points. So good job.
Okay.
Good. Thank you very much, Susan. And thank you very much, team number one. Team number two is Ingrid, John, Martha, Mary Ellen, Steve, and Vera. Who's your spokesperson?
Larry, I was the one who was suckered into it, so it's me. Okay. I mean, generously voluntold. No, but great. I'm lucky to have a great team. So I would say there were some similarities to what Susan had said, and then I also thought there were a few things that we had a little bit different. So let's see here. We had some assumptions as well. One of which, there was a typo somewhere within here that was talking about whether they had the capacity or not. We were assuming that they don't have the capacity. So we kind of went with that. And then we were curious as to, we weren't sure how far along the military funding was, whether there was an actual secured contract, things of that nature. And then I'm trying to think if there was any other pieces. There's one part where we thought we would change the wording on one of the questions, but I'll get to that in a second. So those were some of the major assumptions. And then we had for the question, where it says, should he liquidate? We thought that it isn't necessarily just him. So we said, we thought that question would be better phrases. Should they liquidate the company and refund as much? So we would add a T and a Y on that. Our group came to the conclusion, we thought it was a little late to do it. We thought it might not help at this point. So because it was going to be struggled to figure out if there was going to be future funding just because of where they were. We also kind of had some discussions around it being a low number. I think that bubbled up in your conversation in group one as well, for the size of the company as well. Weren't sure if there were going to be some future prospects, commercial prospects and whatnot. So, and then we were curious if they had an actual contract. So that was part of some of the language that wasn't necessarily clear to us. For question two, how can the CEO and venture company protect for self-serving board members? We said better selection of independent board members. We thought the same thing. Susan, right there, maybe even having two or three of them. I liked your ad about the advisors. I think that's a good point. Should the CEO have thought differently about board selection? Absolutely better. Been more intentional about thinking what kind of needs he would have for his board. Number four, are the board members right to act in their own self-best interest? We were saying the board should not be self-serving in it, but we did have a lively call about our discussion about, you know, when a PE firm or other groups come in, there definitely can be mm-hmm. conflict and people can be thinking about their own best interest, but it still should be, you know, you should have the ability to recuse or step away when it's going to be a conflict of interest. Five, should investors fund a bridge loan to help the company generate commercial sales? We were saying yes, potentially. Obviously, some of the things I just mentioned earlier, we weren't sure if they were going to be able to get it because of some of the concerns we had. Number six, replace the CEO. We actually thought that they should replace him and then facilitate introductions and commercial. And we said yes, that should have been done around day one, before the military contract came. So that was tried to lean into where we thought we were a little bit different than what you guys had. But I thought the first group's summary was great. Just try to add a little bit to it. Oh, for my team, anybody else have any additional comments or thoughts they want to add?
No, thank you very much. Mary Ellen, did you want to say something?
I wanted to say excellent, Ingrid.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ingrid. The next group is Cindy, Craig, Fred, Steve, and Susan.
All right, so this is Craig James, who will be giving the report for our group. You know, as always with these cases, Larry, there are a lot of unknowns and some assumptions that have to be made. We were unclear on who comprised the executive team. Is there a sales leader overseeing the sales team? Is there a senior finance person, a CFO? And if so, to what extent was that person involved or not involved? We were unclear of the ownership structure. I think, as other groups mentioned, we went on the assumption that the founder had a majority share, more than a majority share. So, and in terms of the sales team, and this was something that is not discussed among, but I just thought of it subsequently. They didn't have the bandwidth or the experience. Well, they weren't able to sell this product. So what the heck were they doing all this time? And if they didn't have the experience, why not? Who hired them and on what basis did they hire them? So just a couple of questions that we weren't quite sure of. How well the communication between the CEO and the investors was, we don't know. But given all that, we did not believe, to answer the questions, we did not believe the company should be liquidated. And I'll just combine the second two questions there. We also thought that the CEO should be replaced, maybe made executive chairman or some other title, and bring in a professional manager, professional CEO, given the fact that our founder, as brilliant as he is, has held several jobs, but none of those has been in a leadership or executive role. There are questions about raising money. We did agree that a bridge loan might make sense, and we thought Bud Schott would be the most likely candidate of the two investors. The second one, who's not very happy with us, with the founder. But the first one, Bud, did seem like he's been here before, financing pre-revenue companies and those that have stuck around for 7 or 8 years. And we like the idea of facilitating the introductions and commerce with SGM subsidiaries. In addition, maybe finding and establishing a couple of strategic partnerships with other organizations who find this technology interesting and probably complementary to what they're doing. Like others have said, we did not know what the authorized number of board members was, but we did think it would be advisable to bring on a couple of independent board members to supplement the two that we have now. And I think that's all I have, but I have probably missed one or two things, so I will invite my team members to fill in what I missed.
Any comments from the team? Okay. Thank you very much, Craig. But before we leave you, what is behind you? There's a picture, but there's something you're... Oh, okay.
Vistage has this theme of climbing mountains, and so they've got this... But unfortunately, most of their Zoom backgrounds have the Vistage name right behind the speaker, so you can't see it.
Yeah.
So I chose this one.
Yeah.
That's fine. Not me. It's not me climbing.
Okay. The last team is Brandon, Ed, John, Marianne, Robert, and Sanjeev.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Brandon Cotton. I'm going to be the spokesperson for our little group. And we mostly agreed with group one first of all, you don't liquidate the company. You got 6 months. The self-serving actions of the board is not appropriate in this stage. At this stage, we agreed. We came to consensus. We had trouble coming to a consensus on whether to replace the CEO, but we ultimately decided that you should not replace the CEO. Instead, you should bring in a chief resources officer, a chief revenue officer, or somebody who's going to be focusing on commercialization. You want to go to the market. You want to commercialize the product. It's good technology. There's no reason that you shouldn't be selling to the market. But you should also be focusing on the bridge loan. You should be also focusing on other types of funding. SGM should step up. That it was brought up in our group as well, that maybe they're trying to just, you know, get the technology. Maybe they're just trying to buy this company cheap. We felt that they should be, if we can't get them to make the fleet available, they should in some way be stepping up. And we also agreed that we should reduce the burn rate, that the technology is proven, so that, you know, if you can get more funding from whether it's the Army or the military, then that's great. But the technology should, we did not come to consensus on licensing the technology, but that was brought up. The reason that we did not come to consensus on it was that we don't want a competitor to end up licensing it and getting ahead of us in the market. But those kinds of things were on the table. And in terms of facilitating introductions and commerce with SGM subsidiaries, I think that's basically tied into getting SGM to step up. You know, they have a strong interest in making this making this work, and we think that the CEO should be able to do that. Anything that I missed, team?
Thank you very much, Brandon.
We just talked about independent board members as well, perhaps someone who had experience with the military and someone who had experience marketing or business development, building a company and commercializing a company. Otherwise, yep, we're good.
Thank you. So, Rudy, why don't you tell us a little more about the case and what actually happened?
Absolutely. Well, everyone had some tremendous insights. A lot of what each team said were actually really good things that came up along the way and really should have come up a lot sooner. So you all would have made excellent board members, additions to the board. So thank you for your insights. So I'll give you some background and tell you what has happened since. This is not over. This is actually an amalgamation of several companies I've worked with to disguise it so that it can't be known, because it is happening in real time, but there is no resolution yet. The founder is still trying to raise money and thinks he's getting close, so we'll see. But so this company was always entrepreneurially managed. You can tell it's 10 years old and it's still sort of early in its evolution. The founder is a scrappy guy. He grew up in a sort of lower income environment. And so he was always accustomed not to having resources. So when he built his team, he just sort of took what he could get with minimal cash, because he always had minimal cash. So he had mediocre, I don't mean this in a harmful way, but he wasn't paying for top talent because he didn't have the resources to find it or hire it. And then when he got his funding, he was so loyal to his people because they had served him well through very tough times, including through COVID. So he didn't want to let them go. But he also, because he came from such a resource constrained environment and background, he didn't want to double his SG&A by hiring people to complement them. So he stuck with his same team, which I think really limited his ability to take the company to the next level. And that's a characteristic that I admire, the loyalty, but it did end up hurting him because he just didn't have the horsepower ultimately. Which brings me to a point about the sales team. A lot of questions came up about the sales team. So along the way, the CEO did hire a very experienced and successful sales executive. And that guy didn't work out. And the reason was that he was super successful at selling a consumable that was compulsory. So he was really good relationship guy, but when you're selling something that everyone needs and it's consumable, it wears out. It doesn't take much to be really good at your job. And so when he was tasked with introducing new technology to a sort of old economy audience, he wasn't able to really get his customers' interest. Everyone was fascinated by it, but he couldn't figure out how to close a sale of this new technology. So he was terminated during COVID. And then the next person to replace him was completely the opposite, but like a very creative thinker with a PhD in, I think, philosophy or something. And so the CEO took a different approach to sales and marketing and thought, well, if I have somebody who's always problem solving and thinking about different ways to do things, maybe that person will be able to make the sale in a commercial context. But it didn't work. So they never really got commercial traction until later on. And that's just an aside. So I want to talk about, a lot of people ask questions about the DOD. The funding for the program that this company was retained to build out a product for, that funding gets determined in terms of an amount. There's a budget that's established, but it gets paid in arrears. And so the challenge was, develop the technology for the military. And as you reach certain milestones, you submit it to the military and they decide whether it's right or not. And if and when they decide it's right, then you get paid. And so we were always getting paid sort of, we always had to fund our R&D and get through that phase before we could get paid, which made it tough, but we did it, or he did it. And then questions came up about SGM, why they weren't more proactive. This was a really bad fit as a board member in a venture stage company. This was a very mature entity and a very risk averse entity. And it just wasn't a good fit. So they introduced this company to some of their relationships and said, you know, maybe you can create a device that harvests energy and turns it into, or harvests natural energy and turns it into usable energy. And the founder knew he could do it, but SGM expected him to fund that R&D. And so he was looking at like another $500,000 or so of R&D when he already had a working product for these other markets. So he decided I can't risk the company and keep developing. I need to commercialize what I currently have. And SGM just wouldn't make intros beyond these sort of new areas. So that was unfortunate. So I probably missed a bunch of things. I will also say some people brought up, I remember Babs talked about this. They really need to set priorities about like what markets are we targeting, in what order, what are our priorities? And this guy is truly brilliant, which I think is often accompanied by an inability to focus. He's just going in a lot of directions all the time. And what he lacked, where I think there was a shortcoming in his staffing model, was he never got sort of a tactical on the ground operations person to help him focus, set priorities, and execute. He has a million ideas a day, all good ones, and then he chases them all. And so I think it would have helped him to have had a tactical ops guy or person, woman. Probably a woman. Just kidding. Anyway, what did I not cover that you would like to hear about? He's still raising money. The investors are still disgruntled, and he's still understaffed.
Jordy, this is Craig here. Thanks again for the case. This was really fun to work on. We were curious who, if anybody, did he have as advisors? Who did he lean on, or bounce ideas off? Which way should I go? What should I do?
So so he had his best friend who came to his side when he was almost out of money earlier, before he got a second chunk of friends and family money. And again, he was loyal to that guy, but that was not an experienced person and not a hardworking person. And so that but the the CEO was so loyal to his people that he just kept this guy around as a sounding board. And then eventually he asked if I could help him mostly on as a like a sort of interim CFO to prepare the financial statements for the board once he got his Series A funding. And we did have some strategy sessions and try to get focused on certain things, but we never fixed the staffing problem. And it was almost, again, too little too late. I came in sort of late in the game. And other than the two of us, he did not have resources.
So Rudy, I'm curious, it's Susan, I'm curious. We all, every group said that he should have added independent directors. Has he added independent directors yet?
He has not. There was a director or directors were identified, and the task was to give them indemnification that they requested. You know, each one had some perspective on what kind of indemnity he or she wanted. And again, the inability to focus and execute, that never happened. And so those board members never joined because they couldn't get satisfaction with the form of indemnification.
Rudy, let me go beyond this case and just ask a more general question. You're describing sort of an early stage technology company where the founder is brilliant and very much an idea person. I think everybody in this room has had that experience with somebody like that and knows somebody like that. Are there any lessons to be learned for board members when approached about joining a company like this, to either be aware or maybe insist on doing XYZ before I join this board?
I absolutely,
Rudy, but I also wanted of the room as well.
Oh yeah, do you want to hear from them first?
No, I want to hear from you first.
I like going first. Okay, so. I agree. I think that ideally, it's a lot to ask a CEO to be sufficiently introspective to understand his or her shortcomings, right? Because all you know is you, right? And you've only always been you. So you don't really have perspective on you. And a board should absolutely help that individual, because founders are a unique breed, right? The entrepreneurs are very different from sort of your more, focused director, corporate director, especially public company directors, it seems. So I feel like a board member has an obligation to help the CEO either get a coach so that it's not coming from the board member, because that could be too personal. Get a coach of some sort to help the CEO have perspective on strengths and weaknesses, or sit with the guy. I mean, if you're going to be on that board, you really need to help this guy be a full, complete person.
Yeah, exactly. So Rudy, someone in our group, in our team, tongue in cheek, said he should be in a business group. So if he happens to be in the Boston area, I know a good chair.
I love it.
Well, yeah, I do agree with Craig. I you know, as they say, if you're a CEO, that's a very lonely position. And one of the nice things about groups like Vistage and YPO is it gives you camaraderie with colleagues who often can help you think outside your own limitations.
Totally agree with that. I think it's a huge and valuable proposition.
Rudy, two things. I agree with Larry and Craig's comments about wanting advice, but you've got to want to have it. And I've had some exposure to folks that, you know, I don't want it. I mean, they don't say it, but essentially they take their own counsel or their best beer pal, golf pal, tennis pal, mountain climbing pal, whatever it is, and that's it. So that's always another situation. So obviously due diligence is important. How strategic was this founder to the business and is to the business. One of the questions is, should you replace this person? And I think our general census was this person is the heart and soul of this technology invention or whatever. Can you comment on that, please?
I think your assessment's correct. He is the heart and soul of it. He came up with the idea on his own. He built it on his own. He tweaked it and improved it on his own. And when initially the company had tried to sell this device to OEM manufacturers, let's say truck manufacturers or ship manufacturers, and they couldn't really get in the door because it worked, but it wasn't uniform across model types. And so every time, if you had a chassis that was this wide instead of this wide, even off by an inch, it needed to be reconfigured. And this guy could do all of that work. He could do the redesign, he could do the reconfiguration, he could do the installation. He really was the company and the creative genius behind it. I think it would have been a terrible thing to remove him. But I have seen in my venture capital raising days, I have seen investors say, you're a genius. You be the technology guy. You be CTO. And we're going to put a more operationally oriented executive in place to lead the company. Right. We could have done that and probably should have done that. But getting rid of him, I think, would have been a death knell.
Rudy, Steve, I have a question regarding the DOD contract. Was that too early, or should the CEO focused on the commercial side first? I mean, what did the DOD contract do for the company? Did it create this new market now where it promoted the product? I mean, what was the benefit of that DOD contract?
It's a great question. I think the answer is they should have pursued both and maybe staffed to do exactly that. But the appeal of the DOD is validation by a very discerning customer. This company was still very early in its evolution. And to have somebody as big as the military say, hey, you guys are the best. Mm-hmm. It went through RFP and it was competitive. And then so for this company to have won it, it was such quite a feather in their cap. And the board members were all excited about it. They thought, this is great. We're heroes. We made a smart investment. And then, they just ran out of resources, but the commercial traction was evolving, but just very slow because they had young people who weren't experienced salespeople, didn't really know how to work through a sales process. They came up the curve, but it took a while. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Rudy, this is Ingrid. I was going to say, sometimes I feel like maybe this is an ideal situation, but having the opportunity when you decide, hey, I'm going to start a company. And what I mean by that is like you're really putting together those pieces. It seems like many entrepreneurs transitioning from that to an executive, even though they've done executive work before, when the buck stops with you, that ability to kind of go back like you were just describing seems to be a major failing. And I don't mean that in a negative. I'm just saying it's just such a blind spot. And that to me leads, I would imagine, to the detriment or the downfall of many amazing potential companies because a leader doesn't understand you would be a better fit for a technical person, or let's leverage your resources to be our top salesperson, not the head person, because it almost seems like, well, I invented it, I'm the founder, so therefore I should be filling this blank. But your skill set and competency in your happy place, because you're quitting your 9-to-5 big wig job to go do this, your happy place is someplace else, and you should be doing that versus trying to fake it till you make it. And in the beginning stages, at least when you want funding and all these other things, it's so important that you are super sound and good at what you do, because you've got to wear 20 hats. But you better be really good in at least 10 to 15 of them, because a lot of people are going to be having eyes on you. So that was just kind of my thoughts. I don't know what you think about that.
I think you nailed it. I think that's absolutely right. And it gets a little bit to what Larry was saying is, should somebody on the board help the person figure out where his or her strengths lie? You're absolutely right. The happy place, that's a great way to say it, because this person is really creative and loves to invent and could just go down a rabbit hole and tinker all day and go, oh, I forgot to sell something today, right? Like you have to go where your strengths lie, especially when money is going to run out. I mean, it's different when the company's self-sustaining, but when cash is running low, you've got to get the right people in the right seats. That's an excellent point.
Anybody else have any questions or comments about this case?
Yeah, I have something to say. This is Brandon. I've been in the position many times. I've been on both sides. I've been on boards of I've been on boards of mid-sized companies as well as my own small consulting firm where I was the CTO. So I reported to the CEO. He was on the board and I was on the board, but we also had several other people on the board and independent people on the board. But most of the time I've been in the position where I've been the founder and innovator and the creator of the technology. As a matter of fact, that's one of the companies I'm working on right now. And I fully expect to be layered and have an experienced CEO come in at the growth stage. You know, I mean, I'm inventing the technology, I'm the chief technologist. Well, at a certain point, I plan to step aside and be the CTO and not be running the whole show, because it becomes much more of an operational sales, you know, building the relationships and so forth. And personally, I'd rather focus on what I was there for from the beginning. And I think that that's a good way to come into a situation with someone like that who, you know, yeah, they've got a lot of talent, they've got a lot of ideas and so forth. But at a certain point, it becomes, you know, the grind where, you know, you have someone who needs to actually just focus on the day-to-day, only the day-to-day, and all the extra ideas, they become too distracting. You know, let that person focus on, you know, bringing more innovation to the table when it's the right time. But you need someone who's there to, you know, handle the rough and tumble of things, you know, in order to get the company to the point where it's going to be successful in the larger market.
Yep. Yeah, great points. I agree.
Well, thank you very much for presenting this case, Rudy. I really appreciate it. We look forward to seeing you at future Seat at the Table programs. We will be having another case next month. This one will be a fascinating one about a cybersecurity problem at a hospital. And you're on the board of the hospital. What are you going to do about it? We will see you next month. You'll be hearing about it in a few days. Look forward to seeing you then. Meantime, have a wonderful rest of the week.
Great.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Thanks for the invite, Larry.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks you. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.